Once again, and I hope your listeners are doing well. I promised last week we would discuss the reason for the third temple in Israel. It has to do with the Ten Commandments. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, Moses received the Ten Commandments from God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17 through 21, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The Ten Commandments resulted in death if disobeyed, and God had to make a way to keep people alive. God set up substitutes to die instead. Certain animals and birds would be killed, their blood sprinkled on the sinner and the altar, and the sentence of death would be set aside temporarily. The tabernacle, the first temple, and later the second temple, Solomon's temple, were locations where these sacrifices were conducted under God's supervision. Addressing King Solomon, "And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his brother." 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3 to 4. Jesus, all-knowing as he is, knew that Solomon's temple would be destroyed after the crucifixion. He said, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench around thee and compass around thee, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. That's in Luke 19:44. Since Israel's history was approximately 4,000 years old, they should have studied out God's plan of redemption. The Psalms by King David are a resource for God's mercy. What did Jesus imply, since their sacrifices would not have a place anymore? Their sins would have to be punished by death. God went a step further and ended the Aaronic priesthood. It was necessary for offering up the sacrifices and sprinkling of blood. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, not to be called after the order of Aaron? Hebrews 7:11. Referring to Jesus Christ, who received the Melchizedek priesthood, there is no need of another priesthood. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lived to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed that not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Hebrews 7:24-28. The Melchizedek priesthood is by oath. The Aaronic priesthood was transferred within families related by blood. Titus 3:9 and 1 Timothy 1:6. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings upon the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Because Israel is still under the Ten Commandments, since they rejected Jesus Christ, they are doomed to die. They need the third temple to reinstate the Aaronic priesthood. Pentecost is the conception of his church. At Pentecost, Jesus Christ from heaven baptized 120 disciples with fire. His Holy Spirit, he imputed power to give other, to speak other languages, adding 8 Holy Spirit gifts for their missions to tell the good news to the world, that he had paid the price in full for their sins. Pentecost can be considered the conception of the church in gestation until the rapture, when believers are born into an eternal, incorrupt life to become the wife of Christ. The Apostle Paul described this event in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. After this event, the peace agreement will finally get accomplished, because the restrainer has left with the church, and so has the word of God. I don't know if you remember, the King James Version and all others are being changed supernaturally. Very few are admitting to this, but it is true. There is no original authorized King James Version available today. And the Bible confirms this in Amos 8:12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on Cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, Cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross: "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark 13:22, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Time's up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at Cephas-thrift-shop.com. Cephas-thriftshop.com. We're selling our inventory at a 90% discount, books, DVDs, CDs, etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals. The books are used like new. We do have PayPal, who accepts credit cards, and they are safe. Join our monthly newsletter free, ad-free, and no soliciting at go-cephas.com. This radio program can be found on the web at cephas-radio.com. My email address is original@cephas-notes.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll have a happy and blessed week. Shalom. Rita Williams at cephasministry.com. Cephas ministry.com.